Hey, it's Warriors HQ. I'm Dieter Kurtenbach. That's Wes Goldberg. Say hi, everybody. Say hi to everybody, Wes.
Hey, everybody.
Cool. Okay, so the NBA draft is on the 18th, which means it is rapidly approaching, and the buzz is getting buzzier. And I don't know, it's kind of exciting. I'm also kind of over the NBA draft at a certain juncture, even as it sits imminently in our calendars, because we've been doing this for, what, 7.5 years now? It feels like it's been 7.5 years.
It's literally been since last December that I've been writing about this draft when it was pretty clear that the Warriors would be picking at the top of it. Yeah. And the amount of times that I've heard it's not a strong draft, like, I get it. I'm aware, okay? I may be more aware than anybody else other than the Warriors themselves. But I am so excited to get this over with. Between the election and this, man, like, just wake me up when November ends. I'm so ready.
Oh, damn you with the Green Day reference. So the question today, I just wanted to kind of get to brass tacks. We could go through and talk about every prospect and how do they fit and what kind of trades and where's Jrue Holiday and Chris Paul. Like, we could do all of that and we would eventually die at our microphones because the options are so limitless. I figured the best way to handle it would be to just discuss what you think the best case scenario for the Warriors is. And I'm happy to start to kind of set a tone here, but I do think that this kind of loops in a lot of our collective thoughts. And listen, this isn't to say this is what's going to happen, but if everything breaks for the Warriors, if the luckiest damn team in the history of the NBA gets lucky again, what would go down? And I'll just start. I think the best case scenario, and this is somewhat ironic, because I do think that the Warriors would be really well served to get Anthony Edwards with the number 2 overall pick. But I think the best case scenario is that Edwards goes number 1 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And then that puts the Warriors in the driver's seat to wheel and deal the number 2 pick, because there are teams that are clearly in on James Wiseman, and there are a lot of teams that are very interested in LaMelo Ball. And those teams are a little bit further down in the draft. So here's where it starts to get a little bit crazy. Stick with me here, Wes. If Edwards goes number 1, the Warriors then trade the number 2 pick to the Charlotte Hornets in exchange for the number 3 pick and Miles Bridges. And Jordan Poole, or another young player, goes to Charlotte. Charlotte then takes James Wiseman. So the Warriors, through all their smoke screens, by saying, hey, we're definitely going to take Wiseman, even though you and I both think that they're not going to take Wiseman, fool Charlotte into giving them Miles Bridges so that they can move up one spot. And then the Warriors, sitting at number 3, in position to take LaMelo Ball, say no. And they trade it to the Detroit Pistons, the number 3 overall pick, for the number 7 overall pick, a future first rounder with a buttload of protections, and Tony Snell. And with the number 7 overall pick, they select Haliburton or Vassell. That would be, in my opinion, the best case scenario. That's Miles Bridges, Tony Snell, a super, super protected first rounder. Like, it will never actually be a first rounder, but we can all hope one day. And then either Haliburton or Vassell. I think that would improve the Warriors the absolute most. That is my best case scenario. I'm sorry to set a bar so high there.
I will raise you. Did Bob Myers ask for Luke Kennard instead of Tony Snell and then got denied?
Yes, that was okay. My first ask, and Luke Kennard was deemed untouchable because there are 5 players on the Pistons who are NBA caliber, and he is one of them, and Tony Snell's contract is very much expiring. By the way, they would have to use the traded player exemption for that, but this is a guy who shot 40% from beyond the arc last year, and I think can be a helpful bench piece for this squad. Much-needed shooting, in my opinion.
On an expiring contract, which could be valuable in a trade by the trade deadline, by the way. I like that Belichickian style of let's just keep trading down and stock up all the draft picks, because the Warriors have been paying attention, just as anybody has, right, as to how you get superstars, and you just grease the wheels with as many first round picks as possible. Mm-hmm. Paul George, Anthony Davis, etc. And so if you could just stock up on all those first round picks and an all-star comes around, then you now have the ammunition to make that trade. Not to mention you have the contracts to stack up. Tony Snell, Andrew Wiggins, guys like that help you get to where you want to go, as well as whoever they pick. Plus, if you get Devin Vassell, on my personal big board, he's number 2. And it's not.
I thought you'd like that. I know that you like Halliburton and Vassell, and so that's I like them too. You've talked me into them. So, and both of them fit. I think Edwards has the highest upside, right? Like, and I think the Warriors need to get wings, 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 wings. Every single player that I just mentioned that they would be taking, Bridges, Snell, Halliburton, or Vassell, they're all wings, and that's where the Warriors are weakest.
I would almost prefer them to just stick at number three, though, and take Miles Bridges, and then just go ahead and be like, you know what, LaMelo, we don't like we could maybe maximize this opportunity, not trade all the way down to seven, but maybe just flip with Chicago there at number four, just move from two to four in two different trades,
just eke all the way down,
and then just take Denny at Via. And then you just have him and Miles Bridges, and you've completed your wing rotation with needs of athleticism and just brute strength and potential. I think that would be really nice, too. It, you know, Devin Vassell would be a nice pick there. You could even take Halliburton at four. I don't think anybody would mind. So, look, I think that's long been maybe the best-case scenario idea is trade down, grab assets, get the guy who you really want, because the Warriors like probably six guys at this draft, at the top of this draft. So – I think that if you can move around and get assets that you value, and maybe Tony Snell isn't exactly that, but a guy like Miles Bridges certainly would, and obviously any future first rounders you can get would be helpful. If you can move around and just grab assets and then end up at the end of the night with a guy who you liked in the first place, that might be the best case scenario. But I still think that they are shopping this number two pick, maybe looking for an all-NBA, a young all-NBA caliber player. That to me would be the absolute best case scenario, though I think it's unrealistic. When I talk about young all-NBA player, I mean, we're talking about guys like Ben Simmons. It wouldn't shock me, and this is just me guessing, if they even called about James Harden with these recent reports out there. Those are the kind of names that I would be looking at, but obviously I don't know if those are the names. Bradley Beal obviously is a big one.
Bradley Beal's a big
one. Drew Holiday is not quite that level of player. I don't know. He's 30. He's barely an all-star. And I think and I'm talking about young all-NBA. That's the standard that they're looking for. But here's an idea.
Okay.
And I was just batting this around. Let's say Anthony Edwards or James Wiseman goes number one. Maybe Charlotte leaps. And by the way, I think the Warriors smokescreening the James Wiseman stuff has been genius. But
oh, yeah. I mean, to the point, it's genius if Charlotte's actually buying it. And I don't know if there's an indication yet. I can't get a read on Charlotte, obviously.
So I think Charlotte really wants Wiseman and all of this.
I know
this.
That.
Well, actually, we kind of want, we like Onyeka Okongwu. Actually, maybe we like him more than Wiseman is them just pushing back and saying, like, we don't even want Wiseman. We don't even care about Wiseman. Who? Like, I don't know who that guy is.
Okay, so they got it. They got it bad for Wiseman, but do they believe that the Warriors would take him?
I think they are scared enough to basically throw Miles. I shouldn't say that. They're scared enough to potentially throw in an asset to move up to number two or just to leapfrog them at number one, which I still think that that is a possibility. I still think
absolutely.
That Minnesota could move. They could just do a Boston-Philadelphia thing, flip one to three, call it a day. Now, if that's the case and Wiseman goes number one or if Anthony Edwards goes number one, we learned today that Michael Jordan was at Anthony Edwards' workout, so maybe he likes that kind of player. Yep. And LaMelo Ball is there at number two. Here's another report that we've heard, that Oklahoma City desperately wants to move up to take LaMelo Ball. They think he's the guy that they can build around. Hmm. If LaMelo is there at number two, if you're the Warriors, is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander enough for you to give up that number two pick plus a bunch of future first-rounders?
Well, so are you asking if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander plus a bunch of future first rounders is enough to give up the number two overall pick? Is that the question that's being posited?
And the Thunder also have like the 25th pick in this draft, so I imagine you would get that too.
I believe that the answer to that question is yes, very much so. Because I like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I understand that he might not be the most logical fit. He's not a wing, so clearly there's a knockdown.
I mean, he could play anywhere from one to three.
I agree, but really, I think that he's a Livingston-esque point guard, which, again, Warriors love that, and they certainly would like to have that. He would, you know, anchor the second unit, be able to play with the top lineup, maybe close out some games, because as you alluded to on Locked On Warriors the other day, the era of, you know, having a prescribed closing lineup is probably over for the Golden State Warriors. You're going to have to mix and match a little bit. I'm a big fan of his game. But it's really the first round draft picks, right? Is this your best case scenario, by the way? Is the Thunder the best? Were you building up to this?
Yes, I love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think that he could be, and I think he's going to make a couple. The one thing I've kept hearing from the Warriors, they want, with this number two pick, somebody who can make multiple All-Star games. Mm-hmm. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will make multiple All-Star games.
He has that
kind of potential. And so if you can get him, like, would you take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with the number two pick this year? Like, I would,
yes.
Right? And then if you could do that and get some future first rounders, and look, the Thunder
Why would the Thunder give up is LaMelo really, I mean, that enticing? Not only to the point, I understand that they have first rounders to burn because they just took all of the Clippers first rounders, but and how valuable are those? We'll see. But I would much rather have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is a proven commodity, who is we understand what he is, who still has a ton of room to grow, over a LaMelo Ball, who I'm not personally convinced is going to be some sort of a stud in the league.
Yeah, I think you and I are on the same page with both of those players, but the Thunder love long, athletic guys who can't really shoot.
And like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
He could shoot a little too well, though, for their taste, I think. And
that's LaMelo's ridiculous. Like, Come on. What are we talking about?
LaMelo's right in that sweet spot of 28% from three-point range. They love that. this is not what I think. All the reports are that they love LaMelo Ball. And look, I think there's serious questions about whether or not you can build an offense around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I don't know that he could be your alpha.
That's
fair. I don't know that he's running your offense. And the belief is that LaMelo can, right? And if the Thunder are just saying, you know what, we just need to do something and figure out who we're building around, I think we saw with Shai when he was asked to run offense when Chris Paul was on the bench for them last year, or when Chris Paul was injured. Yeah. It wasn't as good as when Shai was in a secondary or a tertiary scoring role. And I think that's where he ultimately ends up. Now I think that's a really good player. And if you have Steph Curry and Draymond Green running your offense for the Warriors, just fine. You don't need Shai to run your offense, but I think you can have him sort of be this elevated Andre Iguodala type. Defensively, he's everywhere. He jumps passing lanes. He thrives in transition. He's got this great little mid-range game. I mean, when you talk about wanting to replace Iguodala and Sean Livingston, Shai is like he's Livingston on offense with a better outside jumper, and he's Iguodala type potential defensively. And
I'm getting all hot and bothered over here. The concept of this is tantalizing. Like,
relax.
This is I thought my best case scenario was good. This is way better, and it's realistic because you're hearing, I think, a little bit more detail than I'm hearing. But certainly the Thunder have made enough waves in the basketball community that they want to move up now. You could
really be the only tool they could use to move up, by the way. That's why they are almost forced to put in Shai. If they could move Steven Adams for the second pick, they would, but they can't.
No one wants Steven Adams. It just doesn't work.
Right. So Shai's really, and Shai's still on a rookie scale contract, so it makes the deal a little bit easier. The Warriors could just take him right into the trade exception, not even worry about it. Maybe even take another contract that the Thunder don't want. I don't have their roster in front of me, but that could help grease the wheels.
Well, could that let me pull up their roster real quick.
I'm
while
doing
you
the same
vamp.
Thing. Okay.
Damn you.
Who would be good?
I mean, who would fit in under the $17 million? Shai is making what, like 5 or 6?
Right, Shai is making $4.1 million. It would not be enough room to clear Dennis Schroeder. But you could.
That's a tough
bracket. They don't really have. That would be the only contract that they'd maybe itching to get off of. And I think Schroeder's not a salary dump. They could really get something for him. I think that any of the LA teams would love to have him. But. That would probably be it. Is just bringing in Shai, and you can even flip. You reserve the trade exception for another deal, and you flip Kevon Looney over there.
I think that would probably be the angle, and then you go and you get a Kelly Olynyk with the trade exception. I think that would probably be the play, because Looney, especially, I think it becomes, we don't talk about this very much, but with the other picks that the Warriors are going to have in this draft, there's a lot of just 7-footers. They just have a bunch of dudes with long wingspan. I think that for a center draft, for an actual big draft, this is a really good draft. Now, that is, you have to put the caveat on it that bigs don't matter. And so congratulations, you have a great draft at an antiquated position. But if you're looking for some guy to give you 10, 15, 10 minutes a night, let's just say 10 minutes a night from day one, you got Olynyk, you got Marquese Chris, and then you bring in, a young player who's got long wingspan, a defensive minded kind of guy. It would take him some time, no doubt, to develop into an NBA, you know, stalwart. But Looney's availability is next to nil. I love Looney. Nobody stands harder for Looney than I do. But one, you're not going to have to worry about the Houston Rockets really moving forward. I just don't think that that's it. So much of Looney's value was, hey, he can switch out on guards. With all of the injuries compounding, that becomes less and less likely. The game has shifted in the 3 years since that was kind of first a thing to now being even smaller than it was. I just think that, you know, his usefulness, this physically hurts. I'm getting a pain in my chest. His usefulness is probably worn out for the Golden State Warriors, outside of the usefulness of having a contract that is easily included in trades for guys on rookie scale deals, shoot, you know, past first round picks. I that would be absolutely the guy that you toss in. And Nate Duncan of the Locked On, or what was it, the Dunked On Basketball podcast, suggested that Looney be included as part of the TPE trade for whomever that is. That has to be deep in consideration as well. I think the Warriors can fill out the center position. They still have Smiley Geach, who is going to get a little bit of run too, for better or for worse. Draft a guy later on, get a big body, get somebody at the center position with the TPE on an expiring deal, and you know, load up on wings everywhere else. But I love this idea. What would be the limitation? Do the Warriors have to do anything? Obviously, number one would have to be somebody who's not LaMelo Ball. But right. The Warriors would trade the number two pick for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And let's say, what kind of draft assets do you think would be coming back in that deal? So if you're including Looney going on in the other direction.
I think you could realistically get the 25th pick in this draft from Oklahoma City, and maybe one protected future first rounder. And that's probably about it, because Shea's got trade value. I mean, he was the centerpiece of the Paul George trade, right? And so I don't think you're suddenly getting this crazy, you know, Godfather type of package. But I think you can get Shea, the 25th pick, which has whatever value you give it in this draft. And then maybe a future first rounder that's protected. They own they have their own 2021 pick. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City does. They have one coming over from Miami or Houston, the better of the two. And then they have three Clippers first rounders and another Miami first rounder in 2023. So you could take any of those. You probably get one of those if you're Golden State. You're probably not getting any of the 2021 ones, but maybe the 2022 ones you can get. And that has value, especially if you're the Warriors, who may want to cobble together a package for a superstar down within this next year or so. So that's probably all you're really going to get is a couple of not so valuable first rounders, but first rounders nonetheless. And then you get Shea.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And, you know, let's be honest about this. So much of what the Warriors are doing now is there's no way that they could truly screw up the future unless they take just a really bad player with the number two overall pick. They don't maximize their value if they do select at number two. But man, like, you have to keep your mind a little bit. It still feels unlikely, but you have to, you know, mentally prepare for how can you get a Giannis? How can you go out and get a player of that caliber? And maybe, you know, Bradley Beal is a step below that. Obviously, he's never won an MVP. He's never been a dominant force like that. But he's still a really good player, and he wouldn't require as much assets going to the Washington Wizards. But how do you get a player like that down the line? How do you maximize that potential? Not only are you getting a player that I would absolutely, if you said straight up Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for the number two overall pick, I would deeply consider it, and I'd probably take it. Now, you add in Looney to make the contracts work and stuff, and it gets a little funky, and then there does have to be a little bit of a dance. But looking at it just from the perspective of who makes the Warriors better in the near term and long term, I would rather have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander than anybody in this draft, with the possible exception of Edwards, but really not even that. You add in first rounders, that only then bolsters your ability to go out and trade for a superstar, because now you have Minnesota's first rounder next year. You'd have an Oklahoma City first rounder down the line. You could probably find another one at some point between now and then. Now you have a 3-4, you know, first round picks that aren't your own that you can stack in there. now we're talking. Now we have a package. Because if that Paul George deal that you alluded to is now the standard, you're going to need a ton of first round draft picks.
They've got Minnesota's pick next year. Yeah. And yeah, I think that you all of a sudden you have a lot more ammo. And I think that, and I've always maintained, by the way, if the Warriors are going to move off the number two pick, trade down or trade out, you need to get future first round picks. I mean, that should always be the number one thing. I mean, all this talk about getting a Mitchell Robinson from the Knicks or John Collins from the Hawks, like, yeah, fine. Like, you're getting like rotation players that have very minimal value in a potential trade. Give me the mystery box first round pick in a trade. We've seen how much value that has at the deadline and in the offseason. I don't know. So for me, like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I'm really high on him. Everybody I talk to says he's got all-star potential. I know it was really hard for the Clippers to throw him into that deal. But they ultimately had to do it to get Kawhi, not to get Paul George. I don't think that they would have traded Shai for Paul George straight up, but you do it because you get Kawhi. I would do this deal just like you would, and that's why I bring it up. I still don't know if the Warriors would do it. And if you're talking about trade value, Shai is not – look, he's 22 years old and he's on track to make multiple All-Star games. I think it at least forces a meeting. All I'm saying, I don't want to come on here and report like I think that the Warriors would do this. I'm just saying it would.
Force. You're saying they should. Like,
it would have.
But not
I'm
that
saying
they
will. Should. And it would. I'm saying it would. They would at least have to talk about it and then come.
What would be the holdup? The holdup being that's not a maximization of the value in getting a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
The holdup would just be what they think of the top guys in this draft. Do they think Anthony Edwards' upside? Because let's play this game.
Right.
Anthony Edwards' best case scenario is Donovan Mitchell, probably.
Okay. Like that seems he's a little stockier. But okay, let's go with that in terms of impact.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm going at. And
kind of a one way guy has to be ball dominant. Yeah, I'm with you. Okay.
All right, James Wiseman, best case scenario is like...
is there an equivalent?
I like a switchy kind of rim roll, like an Anthony Davis, I suppose, would be his best case. Ooh, like Anthony Davis, yeah, like, that would be his best case scenario.
Yeah. He's more like a he's Rudy Gobert without the complex.
Yeah, I was going to say like Hassan Whiteside without an attitude problem.
That's better.
You and I value Whiteside the same
plus.
Way. There are people, Whiteside plus, there are people who think that he could be AD.
He's not Anthony Davis. I agree that conceptually that's a good place for people to go to. There's one. And think about all the, you know, quote unquote unicorns. If we're talking Wiseman, actually, probably the guy that we should be talking about is Porzingis. Because this is where people have talked up Wiseman to this point where apparently now he just has this incredible outside shot and just all of these things. And they're basically just driving Kristaps Porzingis in terms of, you know, rim protecting ability, which I think Porzingis doesn't get enough respect for, you know, switchability, and then, you know, having an inside and outside offensive game.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. So let's say like Wiseman is not quite generational center with like, totally. Jokic and Bam and Embiid and Anthony Davis, but a notch below that.
Yes.
Would be best case scenario. All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And by the way, you and I are dubious that he reaches that level, but that
extremely.
Would be best case scenario. And then LaMelo Ball's best case scenario is Magic Johnson, I guess, like whatever.
Yeah. I think that's.
Or Trae Young.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yes. That's not bad, actually. So, what's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's best case scenario? So that's where I was going to.
20 Sean Livingston potential without injuries.
Yeah, I don't mind that. That's hard, but that's like hard too, because like what is that even? I'm trying to think of like Livingston might be or Gilgeous Alexander's.
How about conscientious Russ Westbrook?
Gordon Hayward?
Nah, I don't like that. Hayward's a pretty good team player.
Big. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is great radio, isn't it? Like just
listen,
like stuff up online.
If you've made it 24 minutes in, you were already hooked.
NBA draft.net says Ron Harper or DeJounte Murray. So that's not great.
I don't dislike the DeJounte Murray plus sort of a situation, and you'll never get slander on Ron Harper from me. He is an interesting cat because, as you mentioned, you know, he's got that mid-range game. He's a defensive stalwart, really long. You know, they just don't make cats like that all too often who can, you know, also, you know, straight combo guard. There's not a lot of combo guards anymore. They've all turned into wings, and then there's ball handlers in there. So he's in a kind of a weird spot. He's certainly not Bradley Beal, who I would argue is, you know, the alpha combo guard, where he's not really big enough to be a wing, but not really a point guard either. Murray actually makes some sense, but he's better than Murray. I like Murray a lot, but he's better right. than Murray. I maintain the Sean Livingston, you know, Livingston's game became refined in old age. And after all of those injuries, he knew what his limitations were and he didn't push him. But there was a time when people talked about Sean Livingston as the future of the NBA, at least at his position at point guard, that he was going to be a real thing and that he was going to be a game changer at that spot. And then we know what happened. And as tragic as it was, it's a credit to Livingston for fighting back and doing it. But he was never going to be that player after that injury. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has a lot of Livingston, as you mentioned. He's Livingston on offense and he's Andre Iguodala on defense. Maybe that's as good of a comp as we're going to get. But man, in this modern NBA, it does strike me as this is the kind of player that people thought Livingston was going to be. If you're saying Livingston with real all-star potential, as you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has, that means that he, you know, achieved. He never got injured. And I would have loved to have seen it. It's very hard to, you know, mentally visualize what that is because it never came into, you know, the real world. But I'm down with that analogy, even if it's maybe a bit too abstract for even radio.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's 6'5 with like this crazy almost 7 foot right. wingspan. He's a good free throw shooter at plus 80%, 35% career 3-point shooter, almost 3.3 assists per game. He's getting a bunch of steals. He's close to averaging a block per game. He averaged 19 points per game for Oklahoma City at 21 years old. And
you know, you know what he might be? He might be the guard version of Kawhi Leonard.
That's what I was thinking, because he also has a similar kind of slow, like middle. Yeah. Game. I mean, there's like a little Kobe Bryant to his game, a little yeah. Kawhi Leonard to his game, a little very Tyler methodical. Hero, dare I say.
Oh, boy. That's yeah, Tyler Hero is anything but methodical. Tyler Hero is swagtastic.
Devin Booker, who cares about defense? I don't know. I just...
Nah, because his 3-point shot isn't there, and I don't know if it's ever going to get there. So let's not blaspheme. But Kawhi lives in the mid-range, right? Maybe he's skinny DeMar DeRozan. I don't know if there's not a lot of mid-range guys. And
Jimmy
so
Butler? It... Because he could defend the way Jimmy Butler can, potentially.
Yeah, Butler minus 35 pounds.
Yeah, I think he's still putting on weight too. So I would say I think Jimmy Butler is a night like Jimmy Butler might be a best.
But who are we talking about here? I mean, because listen, with Lonzo Ball, you know, people made the Magic Johnson statements. The highs and the lows are just so dramatic. Like, what is Lonzo Ball even in this NBA? I think he's a solid enough player, but I don't think he's really a starter on a really good team or anything like that. He's a good sixth man.
And I are different on Lonzo Ball. I love Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, I like watching him play. I just don't know if he's a winning player. And I like his intensity. I just there's limitations there that I don't think he's ever going to overcome. Right. Like, I just don't think that he's ever the ceiling that was set for him was so high. And I just don't think he gets anywhere near that ceiling. That's not to say he won't be a good player and that he isn't a good player. It's just to say that I don't think he gets anywhere near that ceiling. And I have very little faith that his brother is going to make that jump either. So it's one of these situations where it's like, okay, we're parsing it together. Oh, he might be the guard Kawhi Leonard, or he might be Gordon Hayward or whatever. But like, what are we really betting on here? We're betting on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander being a better NBA player than LaMelo Ball. And I've already seen Shai Gilgeous-Alexander be a very competent NBA player at a level that I'm not even quite sure if this is the low point of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I'm not certain that LaMelo Ball even gets to that at his high point. I'm not. He might be just the revolution, but we kind of said that about his brother. And how's that working out?
So, yeah, and that brings us all kind of full circle of why we kind of went down this trudge of an exercise. But it was the Warriors have said two things with this number two pick. They want to select some – if they're going to use the pick, they want to find a young player, obviously, because it's the draft, who can make in one day multiple all-star games. But that's if they use the pick. What they wanted to do – what they want to accomplish if they trade the pick is to get a youngish all-NBA level player. Those are two different things. Now, if you can use the pick to get a young player who will make multiple all-star games, I think it's at least worth considering. And I think that's why I bring up the Shea thing. And I bring it up only because I think it could be realistic. If the Thunder are really that aggressive, and if LaMelo does fall – because we're getting conflicting reports. Some people are reporting that LaMelo is already going number one. It's a done deal. And some people are saying that LaMelo could slide. I have no idea. Yeah. Maybe it's somewhere in between at number two.
But let's be real. If LaMelo goes one, then it's Edwards two. Unless they can, I just don't think there's a scenario where the Warriors trade down to three and do the Wiseman thing or trade with the Pistons. Like, if LaMelo's gone, a lot of the dominoes have already fallen because there are a couple teams out there that are real thirsty for some LaMelo ball. The Warriors are not one of them. There's a couple teams, mainly Charlotte, that's real thirsty for James Wiseman. I don't think the Warriors have a similar thirst. And so they can't manipulate the market the way they want if, you know, if Edwards doesn't go number one. So we'll see. That could really throw a wrench in all of these plans.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule out Golden State taking either LaMelo Ball or Wiseman just to say, you know right. what, we got this guy, we can move him later kind of thing. These are the players yeah. with the most trade value. Because I think
they're a little scared off after D'Angelo Russell last year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the fit makes sense really for either of them all that much. Right. But it could be something that they explore. Denny Advia is a name that I wouldn't count out either. I mean, mm-hmm. if the Warriors feel strongly about him, I don't think that they would hesitate to just take him at number two and just blow everything up and just say, you know what, we're not getting the trade offers we want at number two. Yeah. Let's get the guy who we really like. I know they've seen him multiple times, not only in normal scouting, but in these workouts and things like that. Like they like Denny. I just don't know that they like him enough at number two, but it's a name I would consider. And the other two guys would be Tyrese Haliburton and Isaac Okoro, who are more guys that, you know, if you move down in the draft, are more likely options there.
If they get into that 6-7 range, they just have plenty of options. But, you know, it takes plenty of parties to tango. To make this dance worthwhile, you got to have a bunch of interested parties. And right now it is smoke screen city. We can't see through the fog that we have going on right now. But we're going to try. We're going to effort. And we're going to keep putting out content in the meantime. For Wes Goldberg, I'm Dieter Kurtenbach. We will talk after the draft when all of this great content is going to sound purely idiotic. See you later.